You there, girl? Yeah, I don't know if you do or not. Just get focused. When a man or a woman turns to the Lord, he becomes one with God. Sometimes it's not easy focusing on the Lord. That's where His grace is sufficient. It's always there to help us to get focused. And generally when we're not focused, that's when we find the trials and the tests and the tribulations in our life. And it turns us around to get focused again. He uses all the negatives, everything. He doesn't let anything drop on the floor that He doesn't get glory from. We may not be able to see that in a lot of the scenarios and situations that we're confronted with and that we're challenged with in this life. But He says, by giving you faith, and it's the grace and the faith that moves us into His divine purposes for His glory. That ultimately He's going to share with you and I. Father, I want them to have the glory that I had with You before the foundation of the world. What is glory? What is glory? Is it a bright light? Glory is His life. He is glory. The glory is His life. He came into the world and He was the light of the world. And this light was the life of men. The light and the life are the same. They're one. I've come to give You light that You might see. And then from that light, You will develop My life that You might be. And from the light and from the being taking on His being flows the love that manifests Me, says the Lord. I've given You My light that You might see. I've given You My life that You might be a being like I am. As I am, there you go. It's so nice to minister to a fellowship that knows the Word, knows the Scriptures. Makes life a little easier. So what is it that the Lord is saying to us in this hour? I'm really finding out more and more every day in my walk with God that the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And I've never seen that verse in the way I've seen it in the last 2 weeks. And my sermon this morning and my sharing this morning is all about what I saw on the earth. And when I saw it through His eyes, I saw His glory in the earth. And the prophet said, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is filling the earth. Everything that's going on in this level below, that Jesus called it below, He was from above. Now He's taken the below and the above and He's bringing it together. His kingdom is coming to this earth. It's coming to this earth. It's coming to your earth. He wants you to be made aware of that this morning. The trumpets are blowing. The trumpets are blowing. The Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles. We're on the threshold of it right now. And the trumpet in the Feast of Tabernacles, I think the first trumpet was an ingathering. An ingathering. An atonement to become one with God. To become one with God. To understand what we already are in God. That's the beautiful part about being a New Testament saint. He said, it's finished. It's finished. The Old Testament wasn't finished. He had to make the same sacrifices over and over again to cleanse them of their sin. And they always had a consciousness of sin because every year they had to go back with the ram, the lamb, the whatever. But in this new covenant that we're in, Paul says he made the sacrifice once and for all. Once and for all. It doesn't say he died for the Christians. It says he died for the sins of the world. The whole world. I made this sacrifice, the Lord says, not just for a select few. My children need to get rid of this attitude that they're a select few. It creates a judgmental attitude in them. They see this one group not going to make it, this group's going to make it. We don't know who's going to make it and who's not going to make it, so we judge. I don't think he's going to make it. But the very one you're pointing a finger at will be the same one that will be ministering to you in a church pew 3 years from now as an evangelist. I made one sacrifice, the Lord said, and that finished it. That finished it. You know, I was in a restaurant in IHOP eating breakfast, and here again, the Lord speaking to me through the natural, what was happening in my life and my circumstances and my situation. And there was a young waitress. This was her first day on the job. I think I might have been the first person that she waited on that day because she had somebody standing behind her. And you know the newbies because there's always a senior standing behind them like this, watching the newbie take the orders, you know. And I said, oh, you a newbie? She said, yeah. I said, okay. When'd you start? She said, today's my first day. And I said, okay, great. So anyway, when I got through eating, I left a $100 bill. I gave her $100. And her response was, no, I can't take that. No, I can't take that. And I said, well, you know, a tip is a gratuity. And a gratuity, if you look up the definition of it, it's a gift. But she couldn't take it. Basically, the Lord was showing me, she just didn't really feel worthy. I can't take that. And there was another thing, too, that she felt. She felt that she hadn't worked hard enough to earn that $100 bill. And that may be true in the natural, but she said she felt like she hadn't worked hard enough that she deserved that gift. And then she might have questioned my motives. I'm an older gentleman. She's a nice young lady. She might have thought, what's this old buzzer want for that $100? And the Lord started talking to me about that natural experience. And he said, she's just like my children. I had a brother in my office this week. Been in the Lord for I don't know how many years. And he just keeps saying, I just don't feel worthy. I just don't feel worthy. Now, that comes from a lack of knowledge of knowing your Savior. It really does. And I'm not saying that to put him down. But we've been made worthy by the gift. We've been made worthy by the gratuity that God freely gave us. Doesn't make any difference what denomination you belong to. Catholic, Baptist, Lutheran, Pentecostal. It doesn't make any difference. They can't give you the gift. They can't give it to you. He's the only gift that can give you this life. It is finished. What is finished? What is it? What is it? Have you ever bothered to turn the pages of the Bible? Lord, you said it's finished. What are the it's that you're talking about? I want to know what's finished. He said, well, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's finished. It's part of the package. It's part of the gift. He said, I came to seek and to save them that are lost. He didn't say, I came to seek and save as many as I could find. He didn't say that. He said, I came to seek all those that are lost. He talked about parables, a lady that lost a coin. And this lady just cleaned that house and picked that furniture up. But she found the coin. She found the lost coin. It's the parable of the lost coin. Then he talked about another parable about 100 sheep and one of them got away. And he left the 99 all fenced up in a nice big green pasture like we are here. And he went out like we're told to do. Go out and find that lost sheep and bring him back into the pasture land. Did he find the sheep? Of course he did. And like I love to say, when you got 99 here and you got one there and you put the one with the 99, you got 100%. Amen. There's another parable about a prodigal son. All these parables that the Lord's telling. The prodigal son said, I want my inheritance, I'm out of here. You know, I think there's a spiritual mystery in there too. Because I think a lot of times we have an inheritance in us. What are we doing with it? This is not meant to make anybody feel bad. I have orders from headquarters. When I get up here, God shows me by the Spirit the great love that He has for you. I don't want to offend anybody. And you know, when we're walking in that life, when we're walking in that love, we won't offend anybody either. Do we offend people now? Yeah. Do I? Yeah. But when we're walking in that love, when we know Him really intimately, and we start taking on that life, we're not going to be an offense to anybody. You know, when there was great grace in the Acts chapter 4, I think Acts chapter 2 or 4, it said there was great grace upon the church of Jesus Christ. And everyone had everything in common. They sold their homes, they sold their cars, they sold their motorcycles. They threw it all in one big pot. And sister, if you had a need, you just reach right in and take what you need. Because I got an abundance, you got little. I'm going to put that abundance in there. That's what happens when there's great grace working in a people's heart. Amen? Are you ready to sell your house and give it to the apostle? I'm not. I'll be the first one to answer that question. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I need more work in me. I need to discover more things about the Lord. Because I know that all these qualities are in me. Because I'm in Him. And I want these qualities to come to the surface. and getting back to looking at the earthly things and seeing the glory of God in it. I was with Marge, I think I was with you, honey, a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, and this guy had a sticker on his car, and he said, "I'm not lost, I'm just discovering." Isn't that good? I mean, you stop and ponder that. Selah. Pause and think about that. I'm not lost, I'm just discovering. That's what the world's saying. I'm really not lost. I'm just discovering what it is that God's doing in me, what God's done for me. They don't know that. Are they lost? Yes, they are lost. They're lost. Are they separated from God? I think the Lord showed me just in the last couple of weeks that no, they're not. I think the Lord showed me that they never have been. I always thought that when Adam fell from grace, that the Lord said, "Okay, that's it. I'm casting you down to the earth. I'm going to deal with you from there." But you know, when Adam fell from grace, the first voice was, "Adam, where are you?" He didn't say, "I'm splitting." He said, "I'm coming to find you. And I want you to find yourself. Where are you, Adam?" And then when I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it talks about love, and every once in a while when you get a little shot of love that comes up inside of you, moms, you know what I'm talking about especially, and you think to yourself, that kind of love, that unconditional love that Jesus has, Jesus is the same God of the Old Testament that he is in the New Testament. There's no difference. And I thought Paul was describing his nature, because that's what 1 Corinthians is. It's describing the nature of God. Love takes no account of the evil that's done unto it. Wow. Wow. I don't think I was ever separated from him. I think I was, like Paul says, you were separated and you were alienated from him in the wickedness of your mind. I think it was my mind. In our minds and the world's mind that thinks God's a million miles off and that they're separated from him. And they sit under a lot of religious teaching that tells them that God's a million miles off on a planet 7,000 miles south of Mars. And you've got to reach him. And you got to reach him by good works. You got to reach him by giving him your money. You got to reach him by coming to church three times a week. And you got to reach him by this and by that. And that's the difference between religion and grace. Religion says you've got to do this to get to God. And God says, by his grace, I've already done this to come to you. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. I remember I belonged to a faith that if I missed church on Sunday, oh my God. Oh my God, God was going to put me in a fiery pit. And I'll tell you something. I've got a thing here that a quote from Oswald Chambers, who wrote the book My Utmost for His Highest. You're probably familiar with that. Oswald Chambers, and I clipped this quote out. Oswald Chambers says, "The origin of all sin, the origin of all sin, whether it be by sins of the flesh or mistaken identity or missing the mark, is found in the mistrust of God's character." We don't trust God. One day God's good to me, next day he's bad to me. I don't get it. One day I'm in his will, next day I'm out of his will. He's confusing me. After a while, religion just runs you back to the bars, because you get more fellowship there than you do in some religious houses. Because at least there's agreement and there's joy and there's a good time. And you know, we should be able to come to church and find agreement and joy and a good time. And one of the signs that we need our battery charged or our spirits lifted is if you're getting up in the morning, you're saying, "Well, God, I have to go to church today. Hope the preacher doesn't preach that long, Cindy." You know? If you feel that way, you need your battery charged. You need to get hooked up. You need to come and have a closer connection with the Lord. Because God wants you to have a full battery, not only so you can feel the joy of the Lord and the strength of the Lord and feel the righteousness of God, who you are in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's nothing you did to earn it. It was a gratuity. It was a tip. Don't say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm going to have to work a little bit harder before God sees me in a better light. No, it's never going to happen. You're going to wear yourself out. And that's what's happening to a lot of our dear brothers and sisters in these religious organizations. They're precious souls. They love God. I am not condemning any of them. Hello? I was a Catholic. I was a Baptist. I was an Assembly of God. I was a non-denominational. Now I'm a Kingdom kid. Okay? But now I know the truth. And it's not in Catholicism. It's not even in the Kingdom message. It's not in the Assembly of God. We all have a piece of Him, but He wants us to be fully possessed by Him. God gave me a vision one day, and I probably shared it with you. I'll make it quick. Standing on the sidewalk when I was a young Christian, looked across the street. All these churches were clamoring to get me. Come into me. I'm the truth. I'm the way. Come on, come on, come on. Hey, big churches, beautiful churches, little churches, storefront churches. Come into me. Come into me. Oh, my God. I think I was only 6 months old in the Lord, and I was looking, and I said, my God, which one of them has the truth? They all have a different variety. And a voice behind me said, I am the truth. I am. I kind of feel like I miss God, but then I don't think I did, because I know that God takes all our mistakes and He makes them for our good. He does. He really does. And for His glory. I kind of felt like I missed God because I was 6 months old in the Lord when the Lord showed me, son, you've got to come fully into me. You've got to spend time with me. You got to come into the secret place, and there is no secret place in there. I am the secret place. If you want to walk in my promises, then abide in the secret place. Hook yourself up in my yoke. I'm the big ox. You're the little one. I'll do all the pulling. My yoke is light. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Why is it that when we fellowship with many Christians through the course of a day, their yoke is so heavy? Their burden is so heavy. Because we don't know it's finished. It's finished. So, the bumper sticker. I'm not lost, I'm just discovering. And you know, in a sense, that's true for all of us, really. There's still areas of our life that there's kind of dark shadows. And the Lord wants us to discover and bring light where there is darkness so He can complete us. Well, I brought all the scriptures up here, but I'm not going to have time to really get into them. I will read a poem then. God made the vow even though He'd finished His part before the foundation of the world. Wow. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are sanctified, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid, duped in sin, ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder. Here's what I love. But when God, our King and loving Savior, stepped in, He saved us from all that. It was all His doing. We had nothing to do with it. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with Him and given us back our lives. And there's more life to come, even the eternal life. You can count on this. I can't find the poem, but those scriptures will do. All the scriptures about what He's done, I've got, I don't know how many, sheets full of what He's already done. When you start looking into "it is finished," it will take you out into some real big, deep waters. And it will be such an awakening in your spirit. The Lord, I had a bunch of scriptures I could have read, but as always, I get up here and I just pour out my heart. I think that's kind of a New Testament saint. So I'm going to write it in your heart, and I'm going to cause it to come forth. You know the scriptures, for in them you thought you had eternal life, but all these scriptures simply told you about me. And now that you've come to me, I'm writing my word in your heart. Okay? He doesn't want us to be concerned about, am I in God's will? That's another thing when I talk to Christians all day long in my business. One of the greatest things I think with Christians is, am I in the will of God? And you can just hear a little fear. You can hear worry. When I hear worry, I go, okay, Lord, you wanna throw a little water on this fire. And you know, Jesus said, you live and you move and you have your being in me. You're going to do my will. A lot of people may look at you and say, you ain't doing His will. They may judge you critically, but you're doing my will. I'm taking you where I want you to go. We spend so much time worrying. It's not faith. If we stay plugged into the Lord, and plugged into the Lord simply means we turn to the Lord, we will become one spirit with Him. We will hear His voice, and we will hear it plainly. There's no need to fear, I can't hear the voice of the Lord. That's a popular one there. Been in Christ 15, 20 years. Brother, I just don't know the will of the Lord. Is there any prophets around that can prophesy and give me a word? I just can't hear the voice of the Lord. But the Lord in the Scripture says, my sheep, amen. My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. And frankly, it's more of a knowing than it is a hearing, I believe. It's spirit to spirit. And in the spirit, you just instantaneously know everything in eternity. Okay, you just become one with God. And there it is. You know the beginning from the end. As a matter of fact, there are no beginnings and ends in that realm. There's a beginning and an ending in here. That's the reason why Jesus said, I'm your beginning and I'm your end. I started the work, I'll finish it. Okay, but Lord, what about in between? I know you said you'd start it. I know you said you'd finish it, but it's this stuff in here that really, really bogs me down. He said, if you'd stay plugged into me, if you'd stay focused on me, the prophet said, I'll keep him in perfect peace. If his mind is stayed on me. And when you start hearing the voice of the Lord, it's like a bulldozer that starts going through your mind. All that garbage you got up there, and that bulldozer just starts pushing it out. And the mind starts becoming renewed. You start taking on the mind of Christ, of which you already have. The Bible says, we're going to get the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Yeah, but I just don't know what he's saying to me. Yes, you do. I'm here to tell you, yes, you do. You do hear him. Julie heard him said, Rich is going to get me some flowers. I think she was doing some ESP on him, but that's, I won't go there. Now, I know you heard the voice, Lord Julie. God is good. He's got everything under control. Nothing is out of control. Okay? Nothing is out of control. And I'll finish it with this. Here's another natural thing that the Lord started just in the last week. Everything I'm giving you, I got from the earth, and I saw it in God's eyes, and I saw the glory in it. The point I'm trying to make, I think what the Lord's trying to convey to us, is when you walk out of here, see me in everything. I'm in everything. I know we see him in the birds a lot of times. I know sometimes you can just sit down somewhere, you start hearing a bird chirp, and you go, oh, that's nice. You know, it's his glory. You know, I go down the farm, I sit and I just look at the ponds and the deers and the birds, and oh, it's so easy to see the glory of God. As you just sit back and meditate, you get quiet. That's something we have a difficult time doing. How are we going to know him? Be still. It's not difficult. Be still. And know that I am God. Simple spiritual principles. Simple. The simplicity of Christ. Paul says, I'm concerned that you've strayed from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, you want to enter my kingdom? Come as this little guy right here. Hi, honey. Follow me. Come as a child. Why do we make it? Why does religion make it so complicated, so difficult? It's because of their laws, their rules, and their regulations that they lay on you. And that's the grievance that Paul had with the Galatians. What has happened to you? When I ministered this life to you, you were walking in the Spirit. You were doing marvelously. And now, who has deceived you? They're picking up all their laws again. We just can't believe this gratuity. This gift's just too good. I love what Lynn Howe said. If my message sounds too good, it's probably the gospel. Amen? Like Brother Mike said, the angel said, it's good news unto man. It's good news. Okay, the battery. Oh boy, we're going to get you out of here for lunch. I have a lot of toys. Tractors, ATVs, cars, on and on. And I'm always having battery problems. Every time I go, like Dave and I went down last week and we wanted to do something with the tractor, the tractor's dead. I go down to my RV. We don't take the RV anywhere for 3 months. The battery's dead, okay? The ATVs, the grandkids aren't going down there as much as they used to. For months, the ATVs sit there and the batteries are dead. So I said, there's got to be a solution to this. Well, a man came out. Actually, it's a woman. A woman came out to get my RV running, and she brought this battery pack. It was called a battery pack. It wasn't hooked up to anything. It was just fully charged. It was powerful. It's a battery, a lithium battery. I don't understand it. But she says, I'll put this battery on. You go ahead and kick it off. I said, I got 6 batteries in there, ma'am. I don't think that's going to do it. She said, get in your truck and turn it over. Now, this lady's driving a big wrecker, okay? I wasn't going to mess with her. So by God, she put that battery cable on there from that battery. It was called a battery pack, PAC. And I turned it, boom, boy, it just kicked right over. I thought, oh, wow, I got to have me a battery pack because everywhere I go, I got dead batteries. So I bought a battery pack, went out and bought one Walmart or somewhere, and go down the farm, and the tractor was dead, and boom, the battery pack just kicked it right over. What else? The zero turn to cut the grass, boom, that battery pack just kicked it right over. I said, Lord started talking to me. He said, you take that battery pack and you plug it into electric current in your office building, and it sits there for about 6 hours and it gets fully charged. He said, then you can unhook it from that electric socket and you can take that bad boy out and he'll charge up anything you want him to charge up. And the Lord says, that's what I've called you to be, son. and my people. I want you to fill your battery up so much with me that wherever you go, because you're going to see a lot of your brothers and sisters and a lot of lost children, and they're going to need your grace pack. He called it a grace pack. The earth calls it a battery pack. He said, they're going to need you to take your jumper cables, truth and life. Take the truth that I've given you. Take the life that's flowing through you and put them on the negative and on the positive. And my charge is going to run through there, and it's going to take the negative and the positive. And it's going to bring life. Their battery is going to have life in it. Now, you have to even take the battery pack back and stick it into the main outlet, okay? Because even after a while, that one starts like this. And again, here's a natural thing. And the Lord says, I want you to see this through my eyes. Come up here. Walk above. Get out of the below. And all of a sudden, he starts ministering to me about this. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. I think the biggest thing that stands in the way of us becoming a grace pack or a battery pack for the Lord is like that precious little waitress. She didn't feel that she was worthy of that gift. She didn't feel like she had worked enough to get a gift so large. My bill was $6.40 and she got $100. Now, don't walk out here and say Jim's up there bragging. I'm trying to get a point across to you, okay? Hear me through the Spirit, not through the flesh. But she felt she hadn't worked hard enough. And then she might have questioned the motives. It's a lot of money for just the amount of labor I've done. And I think that a lot of times God's children question him a lot. They question his integrity, his character. They really do. Well, God, why did Sister So-and-so got body got all eaten up with cancer? Bless God, you could have done something. You could have done something. Would that be questioning the character of God? He wants us in this hour to take on and receive his life. He said, I am the way. We know that. I am the truth. And I am the life. We still talk a lot about the cross, about suffering, and so on and so forth. But he said, when are you going to start talking about the resurrection? When are you going to start talking about the life? I came that you might have life, not death. Resurrection means reversal. Look the word up. Resurrection means reversal of all the negatives, all the garbage in your life. I've come to reverse it all through my resurrection power. And I'll end it with this. I hope I haven't said that too many times. I hate that when preachers say I'm closing, they never do. some guy was driving down the road. This is a story I heard, and I'll finish. Some guy was driving down a road, a country road, driving slowly. He looked up on this farm. He saw this old farmer by this, pumping this well on this handle, pumping it into like a big trough or like a well or something. And he was driving real slow by him. The man looked to be probably in his 80s. And this old brother's just giving it this. He said, that old man's going to collapse up there. He's so daggone old, I don't know where he's getting the strength to do that. So he stopped, and he looked at him. And the guy kept, old farmer kept cranking water out, and it kept going down into the well or something, or the whatever it was. And he thought, oh, my God, you know, the nation was built on the backs of strong men like that farmer. So I'm going to go up there and talk to him for a second. He must have sat there for 10, 15 minutes, and the old farmer just kept cranking. And when he got up to the farmer, he realized that it was a statue of a man that was a farmer. And there was an artesian well that was coming up with this pressure right up into this statue, and it just kept moving, that old farmer's arm pumping water. And the Lord said, if you drink water from this well, you'll never thirst again. If you let this water flow through your spiritual veins, I am your strength. I am your life. And I'm the Lord that keepeth thee and loveth thee. And if you think this is good, you ain't seen nothing yet, because the best is yet to come. At the wedding, he took the water and he turned it into wine, and that's where we're at. The husband is coming to pick up his bride. And all that water you've had poured into you over the years from Brother Oscar and Eddie and all these other dear folks, he said, I'm going to turn all that water of the word into wine, into my life, into my resurrection life. And you're not going to guess about me anymore what my will is. You're going to know that you know that I am a loving God, and everything I do is for your benefit and for your glory. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this word. Your words are spirit and life. Father, we pray that you encourage our hearts. You said that you will impart to us the desires of our heart. There was a time, Lord, for several years that I thought that meant a new Cadillac in my garage, because those were my desires. But God, since I've grown to know you, those things are growing dimmer and dimmer in the light of your glory and your grace. Now I'm receiving the desires from you, the things that you want me to desire, Lord. And oh, my life is so much more peaceful, Lord. So much more joy, Father. And so much more love. And there's so much more to come. There is no end to this journey. There is no end. Even if you have to go by way of the grave, there's even new beginnings over there. And they never end. You just keep sharing my glory and seeing what a great and awesome and huge God that I am. So, Father, continue to reveal to us your nature and this love, this life, Lord. You keep stressing this life. Thank you for your mercy, Father. Mercy is, we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. You gave us what we didn't deserve. But your grace, just this week, Lord, I know there's all kind of definitions of grace, but you gave me another meaning of it, spoke it right to me when I was studying this for this sermon. Yeah, Amplified says that grace is unmerited favor, and that's good. They're all good definitions. Grace is I impart the desires of my heart, and I give you the strength to carry out those desires, my will. And that's wonderful. But then you said to me this week, grace is the impartation of my life to you. Because in your life, it is your will. It is your love. It is your ways. And the only thing we desire in your life is to desire you, Father. We thank you, Father. Praise you, God, in all things. Praise you, God. Amen.